Hello and welcome. This is episode 3 of Malone Church Podcast. I'm Catherine Viner and I am the minister at Malone. We're a church rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together for Jesus. Check out our website www.malonepresbyterian.org and follow us on Facebook at Malone Church. If you're listening on Sunday the 5th of April, today is a National Day of Prayer. And so between 3 and 4 p.m. we are praying alongside other denominations and Christian organizations. And you can find details on our Facebook page and website. So we all together cry out to God for help, protection and mercy at this time. I want to say a big thanks to Malone Youth for episode 2, Hope and Anchor, on the 29th of March. It would have been our Sunday when we hand over the reins to Malone Youth, but as we were unable to meet and worship together in our building, it was just great to hear Nikki, Samuel and Rachel last week in our podcast. This episode is called Jesus, Swords and Words. It's based on Luke chapter 22, verse 35 to 38. We're back again in Luke's Gospel as we look at the final 48 hours of Jesus' life and consider its significance in our lives. And Cheryl Stafford is reading our passage for us to follow.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 22, verses 35 to 38 in the New International Version. Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without purse, bag or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And I tell you, that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." The disciples said, "See, Lord, here are two swords." "That is enough," he replied.
Frequently on our TVs, we're watching press conferences with updates from government representatives and medical experts about COVID-19. Since the 16th of March, when the Prime Minister made a statement about the new restrictions to try and slow the spread of COVID-19, increasingly what we're hearing from journalists are questions about unfulfilled promises, government plans and commitments that have yet to materialise or have only been partially initiated. And journalists are holding the government to account, questioning strategy and rightly so reminding them of the words they've spoken in promises and plans. Well, something similar is happening here in Luke 22, verse 35 to 38. In this conversation between Jesus and his disciples. And when you first read it, all sorts of alarm bells start ringing and you can easily wonder what is going on. Why would Jesus say something contrary to the instructions to what he previously gave the disciples? He told them 2 or 3 years before, when they were going into towns and villages to tell people about the kingdom of God and what it means, that they were not to bring a lot of belongings or money or carry any weapons. And now he's saying, take your money, take your belongings, and if possible, arm yourselves. Why has Jesus' advice changed? Why do they need swords? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught about turning the other cheek, not wielding a sword. And within a matter of hours, we'll read how Jesus intervened when Peter attacked one of the guards who came to arrest him, and he cut off his ear. And Jesus said, "No more of this," and healed the guard. And he also went on to say, "All who take the sword will die by the sword." Strong words. are very different words to what we're reading here in Luke 22. And if Jesus, in what he was saying, was ensuring his disciples could defend themselves against an attack, or even launch an attack in Jerusalem, why would Jesus say two swords are enough? They wouldn't be enough for 12 disciples, or 11. Yet the disciples themselves may not have thought anything unusual about the new advice Jesus was giving them, because any traveller in the Roman world would have had a sword simply for survival, for sharpening, cutting, an extension of the arm to retrieve fruit off high branches, or just simply preparing a meal over a fire. But Jesus wasn't preparing them for a long journey, because they were already in Jerusalem. So what Jesus is saying can easily seem rather odd and not make any sense. And we really need to know what is going on here. Well, firstly, let's remember what we have already read in Luke 22, so we don't take Jesus' words out of context. Luke 22, verse 2, the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put Jesus to death. Verse 6, Judas consented to betray Jesus. Verse 7 to 23, Jesus took the Last Supper with his apostles, telling them of his coming death. And then verse 34, Jesus told Peter, "The rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me." Jesus was getting ready for his death, and he was getting his disciples ready also. So when Jesus was saying they would need money, belongings, weapons, he was saying they would need these things that very night and day. They would need those things because of what was about to happen. The disciples would flee and need money to find somewhere to lodge and rest and eat. But before they fled, they'd have to play the part of rebels with swords to ensure that those who sought to arrest Jesus felt further justification for doing so. But also, when the chief priests and rulers took Jesus to Pilate and Herod, as recorded in Luke chapter 23, they would accuse Jesus of leading a rebellion and threatening the peace of Judea with the swords as evidence for their accusations. But more importantly, as Jesus clearly says, the possessions of swords would fulfill a prophecy spoken by Isaiah 700 years before, recorded in Isaiah chapter 53, that says he was counted among the rebels. You see, this wasn't a dress rehearsal. This was the fulfillment of a salvation plan in action. God's great salvation plan. And the disciples, just like us today, were not entirely sure what Jesus was up to. But in hindsight, they would see or glimpse something of the wisdom and grace of God. Don't you look back sometimes? Don't we all look back sometimes at situations and say, well, I can see now what God was doing there or where God was in the midst of that. But at the time, we can think God didn't care or understand. But he did more than we'll ever know. And here in Luke 22, Jesus understands and knows his disciples are struggling with all this talk of death, betrayal, denial, and trying to see how this has anything to do with this kingdom of God that Jesus spoke about that had power, authority, and hope for the world. Yet again, I am astounded that God, with all his mastery and power, still involves us in his great plans and purposes. In Luke 22, Jesus invites this motley crew of faltering young men to be part of the climax of God's great story of redemption. And here's the part that always stops me in my tracks. This is still God's strategy. God is still inviting us into his kingdom ways to bring salvation, healing, hope, peace. As we live out in faith in Jesus, that sacrificial love in lots of different ways in our everyday lives, in the kingdoms of this world. And this is at the very heart of what it means to follow Jesus. And the reason we do follow Jesus We accept his invitation to be part of what he calls us to do and be in the world is because God can be trusted. We can trust him and his word. We see in the Bible, God keeps his word, delivers on his promises, fulfills his plans, all so that we might know that the God who loves us is trustworthy and true. Even in this chapter 22, we see this. Judas is ready to betray Jesus, and he's fulfilling the prophecy of God's word in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 to 13. And Jesus explains how the rest of the disciples will run away that very night, and Peter in particular will make a public denial of ever having known him. But Jesus reassures them that he's praying that they have enough faith to recover from this. And all this fulfilling Zechariah chapter 13 verse 7, Psalm 41 verse 9, Psalm 55 verse 12 to 13. And now in this moment, recorded in verse 35 to 38, Jesus demonstrates again how trustworthy the word of God is. As Jesus trusts in his heavenly Father and fulfills the promise spoken in Isaiah 53. Throughout Luke's gospel, we read how Jesus trusted in the words of God the Father to live. And now in the last couple of chapters, we see how Jesus trusts in the words of his heavenly Father to die. As I said earlier, the gospel writers, including Luke, were doing something similar to what journalists are doing at COVID-19 government press conferences. They're reminding us of words that have been spoken and the significance of these promises fulfilled and unfulfilled. However, the difference is that for the gospel writers, they're telling the most extraordinary story of Jesus fulfilling the promises of God, some recorded hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, many prophesying about the birth itself, where, how, who, things that none of us can manipulate or influence naturally before we are born or as we are born. Yet Jesus, before he came to earth and during his first days on earth as a baby, fulfilled nearly 20 Old Testament prophecies alone. And here at the end of Jesus' life, he is choosing to fulfill prophecies that would not only bring about great suffering on himself, but even set in motion what was necessary for his death, and a violent, cruel death at that. Jesus shows the extent to which the word of God can be trusted and that we can base our living and our dying on that word. At a time in our lives when, at this time in our lives when national and global change is causing great change in our own individual personal lives and how we work and interact with one another, let's draw great strength from the fact that God is faithful to his word, and his word is good, always good, even when we can't see the goodness in it in our lives at that moment. From this conversation between Jesus and his disciples about preparations needed for the events that are about to unfold and how they will prove God's word is faithful, let us take time to consider where in our lives we are trusting that God is faithful to his word. You know, how are we following God's word, surrendering to it, obeying it, holding to it? And where in your life have you yet to let God's word influence and impact? And why is that? What's going on in that part of your life? What are your hopes and dreams there that you need to open up and share with God and let his plans and purposes influence and impact them? What are your fears and worries that God's word can speak into with power and authority to bring change? What verses or passages in the Bible do you need to go to for guidance, comfort, reassurance, or just a spiritual kick up the backside to live your life for Jesus, step out in faith, and give it a real go and stop procrastinating? But don't fall at the first hurdle. Knowing what God says. I have a memory of a fish and a daughter who has a memory of an elephant and is forever reminding me that I have a memory of a fish. So if you're like me, then you need to read the Bible again and again. You need to reread the Bible and reread God's word over and over again. And that's okay. There are a few particularly blessed people who can just read a verse and remember it, but they are few and far between. And even so, we believe God's word is the living word and God is the living God. So you could read the same verse in God's word yesterday. And then today, pick up your Bible and read it again. And God's Spirit will inspire you in a different way that is relevant for this day. So let's not let familiarity breed contempt. Let's get over the first hurdle. Pick up your Bible or get hold of your Bible app and get reading and keep reading. Get hold of a version of the Bible that's easy to read. Order one online to be delivered. Send me an email and I will personally order one for you. Download the Bible app YouVersion and choose a Bible version that you enjoy reading. Get hold of God's Word. Visit the Listener's Bible website and listen to daily readings. But just get hold of the Word of God in your life. You will only discover what Luke is revealing here and what I'm trying to tell you about God being faithful to His Word and His Word being trustworthy and true if you allow yourself to become familiar with it and you go and live trusting in it. And there's nothing wrong in being like Laura Kunzberg or Robert Peston and saying to God, in the Bible, God, you said this. Ask God, help me understand what you mean there and what it means for my life now. Help me to get to know you, God, and help me have more faith in you. Help me to see the ways in which you are faithful to your word and your word is trustworthy and true. So there it is. Jesus, swords and words. May Luke 22 bless you and enrich your relationship with God today. And may you go to God's word and know it and hold on to it. So let's pray. Father God, help us all to know your word, trust in your word, remember your word and have faith that it can impact and influence our lives so we might become more like your son Jesus who we're following every day. Fill us with the power of your spirit to bring all these things about in your name. Amen. Thank you for listening to episode 3, Jesus, Swords and Words. And if you're joining us on this National Day of Prayer, please remember to pray between 3 and 4 today for our nation. But to end our podcast, we have a prayer by David Graham, and he's going to lead us in prayer now for our world affected by COVID-19. Stay safe, stay at home, and stay faithful.
Dear Lord, we pray this morning for everyone throughout the world that is impacted by the coronavirus. We know, Lord, that in this situation, that everyone is impacted in some way or other. And we take comfort in that fact, that in this situation, you are in control and you know each and every one of us and the challenges that we face. We pray for the countries throughout the world who are particularly impacted, particularly in China, Italy, Spain, and particularly in America at this time. But we also focus on our own home within the United Kingdom and in Ireland as well, and those who have either sadly lost a family member to this virus, or those who are currently sick in hospital. We pray as well, Lord, for healing at this time, but also we pray, Lord, that more than anything else, that this infection is reduced and that the spread is stopped. We pray that everyone is mindful to take the precautions and they continue to take it seriously over the next incoming weeks and perhaps months as people start to become tired, being in the house every day and being frustrated, being away from family and from friends. So we pray for that resilience and that mental strength at this time. And we also pray that we feel that you're, for your presence. Lastly, Lord, we know that although this virus dominates the rest of the world, we also know that there's impact in people's finances, people's jobs, people's livelihoods. And we pray at this time that you give our government leaders the wisdom to try to assist and help as many people as possible. And we pray, Lord, at this time that everyone is mindful of the other side of this virus when we, God willing, return to normality. And we pray, Lord, that on the other side that everyone will see your presence in this situation and your love and your kindness. We thank you for everything that you've done for each and every one of us at Malone, in Belfast, in Northern Ireland and beyond. In your name we pray. Amen.